The Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." The Gospel of the Lord. Toward the end of my internship year in Fremont, Nebraska, my supervisor gave me this book. You probably can't see it from out there, I'm sure, but the cover says Pastoral Record. And inside this pastoral record, there are 338 lined pages divided up into sections such as Record of Pastorates and Record of Baptisms. This resource for documenting ministry was first published back in the 1980s, so not really that long ago, and according to the internet, it's still available for purchase, but some of the sections feel like they are from another era. Record of Parsonages Built. Now, few congregations want to own and maintain a parsonage these days for a variety of reasons, and I've never even lived in one, so the pages in that section are blank. Record of Evangelistic Meetings Held. I have yet to host a revival. So those pages are also blank, as are the ones for memorializing vacation periods and lectures delivered. Not blank is the chart of pastoral calls on the first page. Four of them over the past 30 years I've been ordained to two congregations and two Lutheran social ministry organizations. And not blank are the sections for documenting baptisms, weddings, and funerals. According to this pastoral record, which I think is pretty accurate, I have presided at 150 baptisms, and there are a couple of you out there, 126 funerals, and 31 weddings. There are all sorts of other statistics I could come up with, I suppose, to quantify what I've been doing during the past three decades. The number of sermons preached, miles driven, meetings attended, home communions celebrated, bulletins proofread, building projects completed, prayer petitions written. But in the end, ministry isn't about statistics. It's about community. The community of God's people, we blessed saints and sinners, claimed as beloved in the waters of baptism, marked with the cross of Christ forever, fed and forgiven at that table, connected to one another across the ages by divine love, commissioned to bear fruit. We hear about this community in this morning's reading from the Gospel of John, which, as I mentioned, was also the gospel for my ordination. Two of us were to be ordained at the Gettysburg Seminary Chapel on October 13th, 1995. And even though technically the service was an official synod event, Patricia and I were allowed to have a lot of input. I can remember negotiating with her over hymn choices, whose family members and friends were going to do what during worship, which organizations the offering would benefit. Given that we were both fairly opinionated people, our conversations got a little, well, tense at times. But Patricia and I agreed quickly on the gospel. The image of a vine and its branches, it just seemed perfect for a night when we would be celebrating the interconnectedness of us and Christ, and the pastors and congregations which had nurtured us over the years, and our families and friends and teachers, and all the people whose pastors we would be in the future. I can remember parts of that night in the seminary chapel like it was yesterday, with the world of 30 years ago and how we human beings related to each other back then was in many ways profoundly different. We weren't on the internet. We didn't shoot each other emails or text messages. No one was on Facebook, which wouldn't be invented for a whole another decade, or Instagram, which came even later. We didn't tweet things or upload videos to TikTok or complain about spam. Our phones and our computers were still hardwired to jacks and wall outlets, not carried around in our pockets and purses. Technology has allowed us to be so plugged in and connected, and yet in many ways, technology has disconnected us. People don't make eye contact, let alone small talk, in waiting rooms or checkout lines or anywhere anymore. Everyone is always looking down in their own world, staring at their phones. And it seems we've lost our ability to engage together in discussion about sensitive topics, to disagree without being disagreeable. Instead, people launch ugly, hateful, sometimes even threatening, anonymous attacks in the comment sections of online newspapers or via social media platforms. And now, with escalating frequency, we are hearing about AI, artificial intelligence, being substituted for human companionship. Why bother with the messy, imperfect people in the world around you when you can stay at home and interact with chatbots that will answer all your questions and respond to all your demands? The thing is, we messy, imperfect people all still need each other. We all need human connection to survive and to thrive. And so in love, God gives us community through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches, Jesus says. He offers these words of good news to the disciples gathered with him the night of his betrayal and arrest. During the last hours of his earthly ministry, Jesus has been telling them how he will be going to the Father and will be with them only a little longer. Jesus is preparing and equipping his disciples for the future, a future in which he will not be bodily present with them in the same way. And so he offers his disciples comfort and promise and invitation in the image of a vineyard. I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. 11 times that word abide is used in the verses we heard from the Gospel of John a few moments ago. Jesus really means it. Live out the connection to God you have been gifted through me, he says. Stay rooted in the source of all that is and was and ever will be. Find abundant life in relationship with the one who loves you so dearly. Abide in me, bear fruit, be my disciples. In the last hours of his earthly ministry, Jesus speaks these words to his friends. They are a gift offered to the men Jesus is leaving behind. But these words from Jesus are also a gift to us. Words of promise that no matter what happens, no matter how cold and harsh the world seems sometimes, no matter how isolated and alone we feel, we are never, ever on our own. God continues to be at work through Christ, connecting and pruning and shaping us. I can't put faces to the names of every person listed in my pastoral record anymore. The people I have baptized, married, and buried over the decades. But their faces are known to God and beloved of God. For each of them is a branch on the vine of Christ, a member of the community of saints and sinners. It has been my privilege and joy to serve as a minister of word and sacrament. So are you. So are the folks we rejoice to welcome into our congregation today, and the two young men back there who will be receiving their first communion this morning, and the siblings in Christ the future holds. What a gift, a precious, holy, amazing gift we are given of each other. Thanks be to God. Amen.